This is interesting because what we're going to look at today has so much application to current events, but we're looking at the dispensation of the fullness of times and how we can ascertain something about man and the sin nature. And we'll look at that in just a minute. Are you going downstairs with them? Or? Okay, go ahead. I was trying to hold them to keep the crowds here. All right. So before we start, let's look to the Father. Our Father, we do thank you that we can look in your word, and we do appreciate that even though we look into the future, we see how man operates and we understand how we things are happening here today. And we thank you for that. Amen. If you turn in your Schofield Bible to page 1250, I want to show you a note. I've done this on all the different dispensations. Remember, we're looking at dispensations. It's page 1250. We're looking at dispensations not in a regular study of them, but just to see how the sin nature operates within each different confinement and under different rules. And under page 1250, and I've used the Schofield Bible as a reference for you so that when you don't have notes around, you'll have a baseline. And in the third footnote, we just want to change one word. The third footnote, it says the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, right there is the biblical name for what I call also the kingdom, and the kingdom is short for the kingdom from the heavens. And it's also, we call it the millennium. All three are true. The reason it's the fullness of times is because after that 1,000 years, there won't be time. And then Schofield reads, this is the seventh and last ordered ages. Cross out ages. It's dispensation. Remember, it's not the church age because this is the evil age. It's not the present age is different from the dispensation of grace. And so we want to be careful there. Then that just tells us our names. Now, very quickly, the second coming of Christ begins the millennium. And I gave you the reference. I'm not going to go there because of time. I want to get to some other stuff. The 19th chapter, when Christ comes back and forcibly, by force, takes the earth and judges it, and then he'll take control for 1,000 years. And what we're going to show you then, and I just listed 11 things, but there's more, and I've been really trying to be careful with my language. When we talk about God, we can use the word perfect in the English language. When we talk about mankind or even rule under man, under God, it can be ideal. So creation is never perfect. It can be ideal, but not perfect, because there's none like God. And if you'll look at Psalm 2, the millennium is a fulfillment of the Psalm 2 prophecy that David gives back 2,800 years ago about. And in Psalm 2, if you want an outline of Psalm 2, the first three verses are the first advent or the first visit by God the Son to earth and his rejection. Verses 4 and 5 are the tribulation. Now that brings us back down to verse 6. This is the second coming. That would be God the Father, will set my king, that'll be Christ, upon my holy hill of Zion. That's the New Jerusalem. And I will declare the decree, the Lord, that it be God the Father, has said to me, God the Son, you are my Son, this day I have appointed you. Ask of me, you, the Son, ask of the Father, and I, the Father, will give you the Son, the Gentiles, for thine inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That's the 1,000-year reign. That's Revelation 19. Now, so in verse 6, you have the rule over Israel. And in verses 7 and 8, the rule over the nations. That's the 1,000-year rule. During that 1,000, you also have it in 1 Timothy 6:15, where it talks about the king of those kinging it, the lord of those lording it. That 1,000-year rule, and you can use the word perfect, will have a perfect ruler. Now, what I'm going to do today is contrast all the elements that are in the millennium to all the angst and all the wishful thinking of people in politics today. Here's what I'm saying. In politics today, well, if everybody had enough food, well, if the judges were all perfect, if the law enforcement officers were all perfect or always didn't make mistakes, well, if everybody had enough money, well, if everybody didn't have to worry about climate change, and all these things. And what we're going to show you here's where I'm going. If there's no external problem that anybody can have in terms of environmental, there's nothing that can stimulate the sin nature externally at all, hardly at all, in terms of environment, food, or desires of the flesh or of the soul, to live, because you can live to be 1,000 years. And when all the other two enemies are gone, man will still fail. So the perfect ruler then, we were just talking about communism and Marxism, that's all designed under the false premise that if you have equity of outcome, not of opportunity, but equity of opportunity, of outcome, then everybody will be happy. Well, during the millennium, there's going to be total equity in almost everything, and man is still going to be unsatisfied. That's where we're going to spend most of our time today. But the world system will be gone, and let me give you one verse that helps you on that. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, because this has direct application to our everyday life. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, talking about the world system, this is one of the attitudes we have to have to overcome the world system, and understanding that. In verse 29, you have the rapture, the time is short. And in verse 31, the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that they that use the world system as not using it up the full. Well, we're looking at the last phrase here. Now, the word fashion is the outward appearance. For the outward appearance of this world system is in the process of passing away. So if we look back to, we can know by the Gospel of Luke, we can go back to Genesis 4th chapter, and we can see the increase in the evolution or the development of the world system. As a Christian, when we see the development of the world system, this verse says that that's an indication to us that it's going to eventually leave. You also have that over in 1 John 2 about verse 17, where the world system, the very fact that it's growing, it'd be a better term, the very fact that the world system is growing proves that to us as Christians that it's going to pass away. So the world system will be gone. The attractions of the world system will not be a deterrent to please God. If you'll turn back to Romans, the 8th chapter, the whole environment, the environmentalists would love this, tree huggers, but they won't be here. They won't have time to do this. And one of the things that we look at creation, as great as it is, it's flawed in two ways. One of which, creation is never equal to God, because it, by definition. And two is, we look at a creation that's been cursed. And in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 18th verse, Paul says, and I logically think that the suffering of this present now time are not worthy to be compared, facing the glory that shall be revealed not in us, but because of us, or by us, or through us, or with reference to us. Verse 9, for the earnest expectation of creation, if you haven't changed that in your Bible, do, of creation eagerly awaits the manifestation or the revelation of the sons of God. That's a reference to the second coming. So when we come back with Christ at the second coming, we have two other verses that tell us we're coming back with Christ. You have it over in Zechariah 12, and you also have it in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it's the first chapter, that when we come back with Christ, that, and this is giving personality to creation, that creation's going to be glad, and here's the reason. Verse 20, for that creation was set up, or subject to worthlessness, and not voluntarily, but by reason of him, that's Adam, who subjected the same upon hope, because the creation itself shall be delivered from the slavery of decay. And what this is the reversal of the curse. Creation was cursed back in the book of Genesis after Adam and Eve fell. It's interesting. Eve was cursed and creation was cursed, but Adam wasn't cursed. Now that creation is going, that is cursed, we look at it and from God's point of view, it's in bondage or it's in slaveship. And this word decay interests me here because the word corruption, that means during the millennium, this is something that we don't have any other verse that I know of. During the millennium, when you pick an apple, it's not going to decay the way we're used to it decaying. You know, the shelf life on some of the best strawberries and tomatoes and raspberries is like about 12 hours. But during the millennium, that will not be true. You won't need storage because creation's going to be reversed. That's all part of the curse. That's all part of the curse. And so during the millennium, we have verses, and we'll see one, refer to one in a minute, that there'll be a pastoral life where everybody will have plenty to eat. And there'll be, and that's why in your notes I put an ideal environment. It's not going to be perfect. Why isn't it perfect? Because it's creation and only God is perfect. So it's going to be an ideal environment. It's going to be a return to the Garden of Eden before the fall. Now if you turn to Zechariah 14, in Zechariah 14 we see a little bit of an exception to this. I wanted to be honest with Scripture. And there's going to be some people that are going to have some problems. And it, wouldn't you know, who caused in the Old pre-Old Testament times, who caused, and during some of the Old Testament times, the nation Israel the most problems? Egypt. And so God is not going to forget that. And in Zechariah 14, it talks about that they have every country of the world is going to have to send its leadership up to the Feast of Tabernacles. And in verse 17 it says, and it shall be of the 14th chapter of Zechariah, that whosoever shall not come of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship, this earthly Jerusalem, to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them there shall be no rain. For if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain, and there shall be plague, wherein the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And then you're going to see that Egypt gets punished. There's two or three other passages that say that God still is going to go after Egypt during the millennium. But generally speaking, almost everybody will not ever worry about hunger. I would say if they're not going to have rain here, they're going to have to worry a little bit about hunger in Egypt. But most won't. It's going to be an ideal medical. You talk about Obamacare. Turn to Revelation 22. Now, what we're saying, the reason we're doing all this, is that all this perfect in, okay, let me just be real clear. Most governments, our own government included, start with the premise, if government sets up a perfect environment, everybody will be good. And what I'm telling you from Scripture, with even a better environment than these clowns can ever invent or even try to set up, mankind will still fail. So in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, this is the heavenly New Jerusalem, and he showed me a pure, first verse, a pure river, water of light, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of the God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street thereof, on either side of the river, was a quality of the tree of life, which bore 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the fruit were for the healing of the nations. That's the Gentiles. Oh, in the earthly New Jerusalem, there's going to be a health care problem program for them, where they'll have medical things taken care of down in the earthly New Jerusalem. And let me see if I can get that. Now, well, that's in Ezekiel. I think we can get that off the top of my head. It's Ezekiel. It's on the left-hand side of the page. Yeah. Well, oh yeah, it's in the last part. Oh, there it is, Ezekiel 48. No, I'm sorry, Ezekiel 47. And you see, if you come down here, there's a river, and then there's trees on both sides. Ezekiel 47:8, last part of it, the waters are going to heal them, and then you have the 12th verse. Go to the 12th verse, the last part, because the waters that issue out of the sanctuary, they'll heal, and the fruit thereof will be for food, and the leaf thereof for medicine or for healing. So the nation Israel will have their Medicare. I get those all mixed up. Their Obamacare will be in the earthly New Jerusalem, and the Gentiles will go up to the heavenly New Jerusalem. Not have to worry about any doctor bills ever, and man will still, it's a human right. Well, it'll be taken care of, no problems. While we're back in the book of Revelation, this will be there'll be perfect light. Right now, the environmentalists don't want to, well, they do acknowledge it, but they don't. The sun actually has more influence on the weather changes on the earth than man could ever do. We could all run our cars 24/7 and it wouldn't change the way the sun. And in fact, the legitimate scientists say that the sun's going in a cooling cycle coming up. So the sun is a pretty good light source for the earth, but it's not perfect. And in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, there'll be a perfect light source. Verse 23, and the city will have no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, in the city, for the glory of God the Father will lighten the city, and the Lamb's glory will be a lamp thereof, and the nations cross out of them which are saved. Then the nations shall walk in the light of the city, and the kings of the earth will bring glory and honor up to the city. So there'll be the perfect light source. It'll never have, what do they call those magnetic flare-ups? And you tell me about one that happened back in the 1800s where it melted railroad ties and everything. It'll be the perfect environment, the perfect food, perfect medicine. We have covered this a little bit. There'll be a perfect administration of laws. Not perfect, an ideal, because it's humans. Ideal administration of laws. There's judicial system that'll be fair and equitable. There won't be one rule for the political class and one party of the political class and another a set of rules for the hoi polloi. There'll be perfect absolute good administration of all the rules. The punishment will always fit the crime. It won't be different for some than others. And it, those, let's cover that, and then I want to get into how the fail comes. So it's a if you'll turn to the book of Isaiah, the 65th chapter, people will even have a significant amount of time to learn the rules, which tells you we don't have all the rules. But it tells you that the rules are going to be pretty extensive, all, however fair and fairly applied. But in Isaiah, the 65th chapter, now be careful with Isaiah 65. Verse 17 is one verse that's in eternity. We'll come back to this after we finish the millennium. That brings us down to verse 18, which is a millennial passage. I'm in Isaiah 65, 18. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem. That would be the earthly Jerusalem during the millennium. Remember, God is going to construct that himself. This verse says he's going to create it out of nothing. If you want a cross-reference to that, it is in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Keep your finger here. Turn to Hebrews 11th chapter and the 10th verse. And Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder or architect and the one who does all the building is God. So, back in, now we even have more information back in Isaiah 65. Not only is the architect and the contractor, but he's also, he creates it out of nothing. Verse 19, Isaiah 65, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, with my people. That's the Jews. They're never promised heavens, they're promised land. And the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And there shall no more there be an infant of days, or an old man that hath not filled his days. For a child shall die at 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So they get 1,000, or during the 1,000-year reign, when in the successive generations, they get 100 years to figure out the rules before they're accountable to that. Now, having said all that, so here's what we have. Perfect environment. There's nothing that can have problems for the soul, because all the five senses are taken care of, mainly the hunger, mainly the eating. The environment is ideal. The world system, you need this. The world system is gone. Beyond what we see. If you want a verse for the, well, we won't do that, but the world system is way beyond human beings. It has to do with the spirit beings behind it. And the world system's gone, and Satan is bound. Let's turn back to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. During this 1,000 years, this is one place we know that it's 1,000 years, Satan is going to be bound. And that's Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel, I should mention that a lowly angel having to do with the incarceration of Satan is mocking Satan. And an angel came down from heaven having the key to the abyss and great chain in his hand, obviously figuratively. And he laid hold of the dragon. We know that to be Satan. The old serpent ties him to the third chapter of the book of Genesis, which is the devil and Satan. Devil meaning slanderer, Satan meaning enemy, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him to the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations. So, during the millennium, now we're going to get to the rest of that verse in just a second. During the millennium, if there's somebody that's has a recalcitrant attitude and wants to rebel, which I'm going to show you there's a lot of them, in fact, most of mankind will, when they want to rebel, they don't have a system to organize other people. Let me get a verse that does it. Oh, let's go back. Keep your finger here. Let's go back to Isaiah 65. We can do it right with one verse there. Isaiah 65, and we got to put these two concepts together. Isaiah 65, and it's one more verse we didn't read down, and that would be verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat fruit of them, this self-sufficiency. And they shall not build another inhabit. There's not going to be any bartering. And they shall not plant and another eat. So it's all complete self-sufficiency. So now when we get over the millennium at the end, if somebody wants to rebel against the perfect king, against the ideal government, against the ideal climate, against the perfect light, against the ideal medical care and the ideal food, if somebody wants to rebel against that, they got to keep their head down, because you got angels out checking you out. We get that over in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, that if somebody scandalizes or breaks one of these rules, they get, well, let's do that. Keep your finger in Luke 20, or in Revelation 20, and turn to Matthew 13. This is at the end of the millennium, or end of the tribulation, but it's also true during the millennium. And verse 41, in the Son's kingdom, this is the millennium. I'm in Matthew 13:41. And the Son of Man shall send his angels out, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend or scandalize, and them which do lawlessness. Those are the people that in Matthew 5 break the rules, and shall cast them in a furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping, and can I indulge myself, gnashing of teeth. So when we go over to the millennium, if I don't like the light today, you know how humans are, or I don't like the food, I keep eating the same food every day, or whatever, I have to keep it to myself. I can't organize. There's not going to be any underground guerrilla groups. So here's the picture. Millions and probably billions of people worldwide, and very few are believers, but the rules are so stringent, and because there's no world system to organize them, they have to stay independently rebellious. In other words, there can't be any organization. Until when? Back to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, the last part of verse 3. That he should deceive the nations no more. Now underline the word tell. Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed for a little season. Now turn the page. There's a little parenthesis there. Now turn the page. We find the little season over on verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed from his prison. That's the abyss. And shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four quarters. Corners, now you know that this is figurative speech, of the earth, with the quality of Gog and Magog. Now very quickly, this is not the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 37. They have a quality. The similarity is that they both are going to be against the holy city Jerusalem, and they're both going to be destroyed. The differences of this Gog and Magog and the actual country and person is that they were, that this one's the whole earth, and Gog and Magog are coming just from the north. Gog and Magog, the country and the leader, are going to be destroyed by human armies. These people are going to be destroyed by God. So the similarity is that they're both against the Jerusalem, and they're both going to be destroyed. The dissimilarity is that the country is going to be destroyed by human armies, and God is going to destroy these armies. So people don't get that. In the original language, if you leave out an article, it's real important. It means quality. So they're the quality of Gog and Magog to gather together to battle, the number of whom are the sands of the seas. Now, I would take that to be billions and billions of people. If for 1,000 years people are procreating and it's happening where people into their 800s and 900s are procreating, obviously there's going, and not many people dying because of Tree of Life care, it's going to be exponential. You know how 2, 4, 8, 16, how that goes quick. And in fact, I've told you this before, but if you put one grain of rice on a checkerboard, there's 64 squares, and two on the next, 4, 8. There's not enough rice in the world to get to the end 64 when you start doubling. So it's going to be a lot of people, like the sands of the sea, verse 8. And they went up over, not on, over the breadth of the land and encompassed the camp. That's Jerusalem. So here's the picture. Millions of people are surrounding Jerusalem. Now remember, Jerusalem is 50 miles square, surrounding Jerusalem and the saints. Now I take that to mean, or imply, and I infer that everybody sees this coming because Satan's organizing people from out the world to come around Jerusalem, this 50 mile square city. And as they're coming around, the saved Gentiles go and hide in Jerusalem. This is on earth. So all the saints then that are on earth are in Jerusalem, in the 50 mile square. Get the picture. So that's the smaller, but the unsaved people that are in rebellion completely surround it. The word is encompassed, completely around it. What should be the larger portion. Middle of verse 9. Encompass the camp, Jerusalem, and the saints about, and the beloved city, that's the earthly new Jerusalem. Now, God says, well, you're entitled to rebel. No, read the rest of the verse. And a fire came down from out of the heaven and devoured them. The end of that rebellion. So here we have, there's a lot of conclusions we can take. No matter what government, no matter what environment, man will fail. Because without divine enabling, and this is actually true of spirit beings, nothing in creation can please God. That's why there were elect angels. And the reason there were elect angels, it implies that they would have all fallen if God hadn't chosen some not to fail. So I kind of spent a little time on this, so let's read it. Man will have no external needs to act as obstacles to pleasing God. The sin nature of man has no external stimulus during the millennium. There's nothing to stimulate the sin nature. And yet man, with no external spiritual enemies, no world system, no Satan. And by the way, I forgot to mention, the nation Israel will have their sin nature modified. I don't think that's true of the Gentiles, but because the new covenant to Israel is to Israel, not to the Gentiles. And so you have a modified sin nature, and you have no, the other two enemies are gone. Apart from God's enabling, man will always fail. And we see here a principle that goes from the history of mankind till now. The majority of man is wrong a majority of the time. That's why that's human history, that the majority of men mankind are wrong a majority of time. So now why does Christians in the now study the millennium? Because this is so applicable today, I don't want to apply it all for you. I want you to get your own comparisons. But all the follies of all the governments of promising all the changes and all the improvements, mankind is still not going to be wanting to please God in and of their own desires. And so that's what the millennium teaches. Next week, Lord willing, we'll get into eternity, where there's no time, and then I'll be gone the week after that, and then we'll start a new subject. So the millennium teaches us that Obamacare or Meals on Wheels or any of those things aren't good. They're putting a Band-Aid on the dike. They don't really stop the dike from breaking. Our Father, we do thank you for your people. We thank you that we can meet together, and we thank you we can look in your word.